The Rosie Project burst onto the literary scene in 2013, becoming an international phenomenon that captured hearts across more than 40 countries. This quirky romantic comedy follows the journey of Don Tillman, a brilliant but socially awkward genetics professor who approaches finding a wife with the same methodical precision he applies to his scientific research. What began as author Graham Simsion's screenplay evolved into a beloved novel that has sold millions of copies worldwide. Bill Gates called it one of the most profound novels I've read in a long time, while celebrities from Jennifer Lawrence to Daniel Radcliffe have expressed admiration for its unique blend of humor and heart. Beyond its entertainment value, the book has sparked important conversations about neurodiversity and the spectrum of human connection. Through Don's meticulous yet endearing perspective, readers discover that sometimes the most perfect match is the one that defies all logical criteria. Don Tillman, a 39-year-old genetics professor, has decided to tackle what he calls the wife problem with the same methodical approach he applies to his scientific research. Despite being intelligent, financially stable, and physically fit, Don has never managed to sustain a romantic relationship beyond a first date. His social awkwardness, rigid routines, and inability to read emotional cues, traits suggestive of Asperger's syndrome, though Don himself doesn't recognize this, have consistently sabotaged his romantic prospects. The apricot ice cream disaster exemplifies Don's relationship challenges perfectly. When Elizabeth, a computer scientist introduced by his friend Claudia, couldn't get her preferred apricot ice cream flavor, Don attempted to prove through experimentation that she couldn't distinguish between fruit flavors anyway. Unsurprisingly, Elizabeth abandoned the date, leaving Don puzzled by yet another romantic failure. Don's solution? The Wife Project, a 16-page questionnaire designed to filter out unsuitable candidates based on criteria ranging from punctuality to BMI to ice cream preferences. In Don's mind, this scientific approach will efficiently identify his perfect match while eliminating the social confusion and emotional unpredictability that have plagued his previous attempts at dating. His only friends, Jean and Claudia, a married couple with an open relationship on Jean's part, have previously tried to help with his wife problem. Jean, a psychology professor, conducting his own project to have sex with women of different nationalities, takes particular interest in Don's questionnaire approach. When Don shares his detailed survey with them, they suggest he might be too picky, but Don remains convinced that his systematic method will yield the perfect partner, someone as logical, punctual, and organized as himself. What Don fails to realize is that relationships rarely conform to scientific formulas, and that the messiness of human connection might be precisely what he needs. His questionnaire isn't just filtering potential partners, it's filtering out the very unpredictability that makes love transformative. When a woman named Rosie Jarman appears at Don's office door one afternoon, he assumes she's a candidate for the Wife Project sent by Jean. Following his friend's dating advice, Don immediately asks her to dinner. Rosie, with her dyed hair, torn black t-shirt, multiple piercings, and casual disregard for punctuality, represents everything Don's questionnaire is designed to filter out. She smokes, drinks, is chronically late, and has no interest in the structured lifestyle Don considers essential. By any rational measure of his criteria, Rosie is completely unsuitable. Their first dinner attempt ends in disaster at Le Gavroche, an upscale restaurant where Don's insistence on wearing his practical Gore-Tex jacket instead of formal attire leads to a confrontation with security. Rosie diffuses the situation with quick thinking and humor, suggesting they go to Don's apartment instead. There, she discovers his meticulously organized life. Bach-only CD collection, standardized meal system with one shelf per day of the week, and complete absence of decorative elements. When Don learns Rosie is basically vegetarian, except for sustainable seafood, he prepares lobster while explaining the 8 advantages of his standardized meal system. No recipe books needed, efficient shopping with standard lists, zero waste, nutritionally balanced meals, no time wasted deciding what to cook, no mistakes, superior food at lower cost, and minimal cognitive load. Rather than being impressed, Rosie finds his explanation amusing and declares they're operating on Rosie time, where normal rules don't apply and alcohol is hereby declared mandatory. Rosie transforms Don's sterile apartment by creating an impromptu dining table on his balcony using a whiteboard, plant pots, and a sheet as tablecloth. She sets it with his never-used silver cutlery and decorative wine glasses, encouraging him to pause and appreciate the city lights, a view he'd always dismissed as static and uninteresting. That evening, Don experiences something rare, genuine enjoyment of another person's company despite all logical incompatibilities. The evening takes a surprising turn when Rosie reveals she's not there for the wife project at all. She's seeking Don's genetics expertise to identify her biological father from among her late mother's medical school classmates. Despite Rosie failing virtually every criterion on his questionnaire, including smoking, the first disqualifying item, Don finds himself drawn to her spontaneity, intelligence, and unique perspective on life. The Father Project begins when Rosie explains her situation. Her mother conceived her at a medical school graduation party with someone other than the man who raised her. Her mother died when Rosie was 10, leaving her with Phil, who had always treated her as his daughter until revealing the truth when she was 12. This revelation shattered Rosie's relationship with Phil and left her with a burning desire to discover her biological father's identity. Don, despite recognizing that helping Rosie would divert valuable time from his wife project, finds himself unable to refuse. They begin collecting DNA samples from potential candidates, starting with Dr. Amon Hughes. While Don engages Hughes in conversation about genetic markers for cardiac disease, Rosie attempts to collect his coffee cup but encounters resistance from his wife. When Rosie nervously breaks a cup, Don improvises brilliantly by asking Hughes about the genealogical project, convincing him to provide a blood sample directly. Back at the lab, Don quickly analyzes the sample and determines Hughes is not Rosie's father. They continue their investigation with Dr. Peter Endicott and the late Dr. Alan McPhee, testing his daughter Natalie instead. For each candidate, they develop increasingly elaborate schemes to obtain DNA samples. Rosie poses as a prospective medical student, Don creates diversions, and they even resort to stealing cups and toothbrushes. The Father Project transforms Don's rigid lifestyle in unexpected ways. He finds himself breaking rules, adjusting schedules, and experiencing spontaneity. When Don discovers photos of Rosie's mother's medical graduation class online, along with news of an upcoming 30th anniversary reunion, they seize the opportunity for batch DNA collection by securing bartending jobs at the event. Despite having no bartending experience, Don approaches this new challenge with characteristic thoroughness. He purchases all necessary equipment and liquor, as recommended in The Bartender's Companion, and exhaustively practices making cocktails. At the reunion, they implement an elaborate plan to collect DNA samples from glasses while serving drinks. The evening culminates in Don demonstrating his newly acquired cocktail expertise, working alongside Rosie in perfect synchronization as they collect samples from remaining candidates. This collaboration creates one of Don's happiest memories, a night of improvisation, teamwork, and connection that stands in stark contrast to his usually solitary, structured existence. The Father Project has become far more than a genetics puzzle. It has become a journey of personal transformation. The Father Project takes an unexpected turn when Don and Rosie must travel to New York to test the remaining candidates. For Don, this presents a scheduling crisis. He's meticulously planned 3 consecutive days at the Museum of Natural History, but Rosie insists they explore New York together, with her as guide for 2 days and Don for 2 days. This negotiation represents a significant departure from Don's usual inflexibility. Their New York adventure becomes a catalyst for Don's transformation. Under Rosie's guidance, he experiences the world's best breakfast, shops on Fifth Avenue, visits Central Park, attends a Broadway performance of Spider-Man, and dines at the acclaimed Momofuku Ko restaurant. Don eats foods he's never tried before, engages with chefs, and declares it the best day of my adult life. He's stepping outside his comfort zone in ways he never imagined possible. When it's Don's turn to guide their activities, he takes Rosie to a baseball game despite never having watched sports before. In characteristic fashion, he spends 2 hours researching baseball rules and players beforehand. At Yankee Stadium, Don becomes unexpectedly engrossed in baseball statistics, discovering the intellectual stimulation of sports and making friends with other baseball enthusiasts. Rosie observes with delight, later telling him she enjoyed watching you being a guy, fitting in. The highlight of their New York visit comes when Don takes Rosie to the Museum of Natural History, following his carefully planned chronological tour of Universal History. Rather than being bored, Rosie shows genuine interest in the displays and suggests skipping lunch to maximize exhibit time. When viewing 3.6 million-year-old hominid footprints, she asks if Don has considered having children. He admits he would be an unsuitable father and an embarrassment, but Rosie laughs, insisting all parents embarrass their children. Their museum visit culminates at the Heilbronn Cosmic Pathway, a spiral ramp representing time from the Big Bang to present, with all recorded human history represented by a single human hair at the end. As they stand at this perspective-altering display, Rosie whispers "Wow!" and takes Don's hand, holding it all the way to the subway. This simple gesture of connection, set against the vastness of cosmic time, represents a profound shift in their relationship. In New York, Don experiences what he later describes as satisfaction, a feeling just out of reach in his normal life. Away from his routines and structures, he discovers connection, spontaneity, and joy that challenge his fundamental assumptions about himself and relationships. After returning from New York, Don and Rosie prepare to analyze the final DNA samples and conclude the Father Project. Don has secretly collected a sample from Gene, suspecting he might be Rosie's father, but hasn't disclosed this to Rosie. When she questions the mystery sample, Don diverts by discussing genetics, correcting her oversimplification of eye color inheritance when she dismisses a candidate based on eye color. When Don asks what Rosie plans to do upon discovering her father, she reveals she once fantasized he would heroically confront Phil, but now sees the candidates as weak guys who ran away. She intends to expose whoever it is, regardless of consequences. Horrified at the potential harm this could cause, Don turns off the testing machine, leading to a heated argument where Rosie accuses him of being incapable of feeling love before storming out. This confrontation, followed by the dean discovering Don's unauthorized use of university equipment and demanding his lab key, officially terminates the Father Project. Don falls into depression, scoring 16 on the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale, his second highest score ever. At home, he discovers his housekeeper, Eva, has completed a wife project questionnaire with a note, "Nobody is perfect." This, combined with memories of his evening with Rosie in New York, triggers an epiphany. He designed the questionnaire not to find someone he could accept, but someone who might accept him. When Gene suggests Don's unhappiness stems from Rosie, Don realizes he's been breaking rules since she entered his life. Gene offers his professional diagnosis. Don is in love. This revelation transforms Don's mental state. He now only needs to fix two of the three faults Rosie identified: social protocols and adherence to schedules. Don embarks on intensive social skills training, watching romantic films Rosie mentioned, Casablanca, The Bridges of Madison County, When Harry Met Sally, and Affair to Remember, plus Gregory Peck movies. He practices social scenarios with Claudia, learning to be less confrontational and more tactful. He tackles his rigid scheduling by maintaining only necessary commitments while abandoning the standardized meal system. After this period of self-improvement, Don arranges a romantic dinner with Rosie at Ligavrosh, the scene of their previous jacket incident. He's prepared meticulously, making peace with the maitre d' and planning to deliver carefully selected movie quotes about love. At dinner, he declares, "You are the world's most perfect woman. All other women are irrelevant," explaining he's abandoned his standardized meal system and eliminated everything she disliked about him. Rosie appreciates his changes but ultimately rejects his marriage proposal, explaining, "You can behave perfectly, but if the feeling's not there inside?" When she asks if he could truly love her, Don admits he couldn't according to her definition. Devastated, he returns home alone, concluding he simply isn't wired to feel love despite all his knowledge about genetics, computers, Aikido, wine, and countless other subjects. Waking in his balcony chair the morning after Rosie's rejection, Don experiences a profound realization that challenges his entire systematic worldview. Through careful logical analysis, his preferred method of understanding the world, he recognizes that while he has difficulty empathizing, a characteristic often associated with the autism spectrum, he isn't fundamentally incapable of it. He reflects on numerous instances where he has genuinely felt empathy. His deep concern for Frank the firefighter's health, his tender care for his elderly friend Daphne during their dance lessons, his complex feelings about his parents' expectations, his long-standing friendship with Jean and Claudia, his growing understanding of Phil's perspective, and most significantly, his intense emotional connection with Rosie. The revelation builds as Don methodically deconstructs his previous assumptions about love and relationships. He realizes that an inability to easily empathize, something he had always considered a defining characteristic of his personality, isn't equivalent to an inability to love. Love, he discovers, operates outside the realm of his beloved logical systems. It's a force that defies his careful categorization and systematic approach to life. Rosie embodies this contradiction perfectly. She fails numerous crucial wife project criteria, including being a smoker, having irregular eating habits, and showing chronic tardiness. Yet, his feelings for her are undeniable and powerful. The carefully constructed questionnaire, which he had designed to find someone compatible with his particular needs and behaviors, had actually become a barrier, preventing him from recognizing that meaningful connections might arise from differences rather than similarities. Driven by this understanding, Don rushes to find Rosie, eventually locating her with Claudia at the university club. In this moment, he makes what is perhaps his most vulnerable and authentic declaration, stripping away his usual scientific precision. "I want to spend my life with you, even though it's totally irrational. The only logical conclusion is that I must be in love with you." This statement represents a fundamental shift in his worldview, an acceptance that not everything valuable can be quantified or logically explained. Rosie's response is equally significant. She calls him incredibly brave and confesses that while she had the most fun with him, she had been afraid to embrace their connection because he was weird. When he directly asks if she could live with his oddities, his schedules, his routines, his different way of processing the world, she responds with laughter, the perfect acceptance of his authentic self. This pivotal moment represents Don's true transformation, but not in the way he initially sought. Rather than successfully modifying himself to meet societal standards of normalcy, as he had attempted throughout the Wife Project, he instead embraces his authentic self while discovering his innate capacity for deep emotional connection. The breakthrough isn't about becoming normal or fitting into predetermined social molds, but about understanding that his different way of experiencing and interpreting the world doesn't preclude meaningful relationships or profound love. This realization validates both his unique personality and his ability to form genuine emotional bonds, suggesting that true connection comes not from changing oneself to meet others' expectations, but from finding someone who appreciates your authentic self. Don and Rosie marry and move to New York, where being weird is acceptable. Don works in genetics at Columbia University, while Rosie studies medicine. They live in Williamsburg, visit the Estlers regularly, and work together at a cocktail bar 3 evenings weekly, a perfect blend of structure and spontaneity that honors both their needs. Despite his general discomfort with physical contact, Don can now hug Rosie comfortably. Sex solved the initial body contact problem. Once weekly, he meets with Dave, his therapist, actually a refrigeration engineer he met at the baseball game, for mutual support on marriage challenges. Don maintains certain aspects of his structured approach to life while embracing flexibility in others, creating a balanced lifestyle that accommodates both his needs and Rosie's. The Father Project reaches an unexpected conclusion when Don secretly tests the remaining DNA samples. After eliminating all candidates, including Jean, Freyberg, and Isaac Estler, he invites Rosie to witness the final test. The blood-stained shirt from Phil's gym provides their match. Phil was Rosie's biological father all along. This revelation brings the story full circle, demonstrating how misconceptions and assumptions, in this case about genetic inheritance of eye color, can lead us down unexpected paths. Don reflects on the beautiful irony that the entire Father Project resulted from Jean teaching an oversimplified model of eye color inheritance to medical students. Without this error, there would have been no Father Project, no great cocktail night, no New York adventure, and Don and Rosie would never have fallen in love. The Rosie Project ultimately delivers a powerful message about human connection. Sometimes the people who challenge us most are precisely those we need. Don's journey from rigid scientist to loving partner doesn't require him to abandon his unique perspective. Rather, it expands to include the beautiful chaos of human relationships. Through Rosie, Don discovers that life's most meaningful experiences often come when we step outside our carefully constructed systems and embrace the unpredictable, illogical nature of love. The Rosie Project resonates deeply because it speaks to a universal human dilemma, finding the balance between order and chaos, between rational planning and emotional spontaneity. Don Tillman's journey reflects our collective struggle to reconcile these seemingly opposing forces in our lives, a struggle that manifests in everything from our daily routines to our deepest relationships. Don begins with an extreme preference for order. His standardized meal system, weekly schedule, and wife project questionnaire all represent attempts to impose structure on the inherently messy business of living. His precisely timed daily routine, down to the minute, and his elaborate screening systems for potential partners demonstrate both the appeal and limitations of trying to optimize human experience. His systems provide security and efficiency, but at the cost of spontaneity and connection. The satisfaction he derives from his ordered world is real, yet so too is his isolation within it. Rosie represents the opposite extreme, living in the moment, embracing uncertainty, and prioritizing emotional authenticity over logical consistency. Her approach to life is organic and fluid, guided by intuition rather than algorithms. She arrives late to appointments, changes plans on a whim, and navigates relationships through emotional intelligence rather than systematic analysis. Her spontaneity brings vitality, but also occasional instability to her life. Their relationship evolves not through one person completely changing to accommodate the other, but through mutual growth toward a middle ground. Don learns to appreciate spontaneity and emotional connection, discovering that deviating from his schedule can lead to unexpected joy. Meanwhile, Rosie comes to value certain aspects of Don's structured approach, recognizing how some routines can provide a foundation for creativity and growth. Together, they create a relationship that honors both order and chaos, both logic and emotion, demonstrating that these apparent opposites can actually complement and strengthen each other. This balance is beautifully symbolized by their cocktail bartending, a practice that combines precise measurements and scientific principles with artistic flair and social connection. Don's methodical approach to learning cocktail recipes complements Rosie's intuitive understanding of people, creating a partnership where their differences become strengths rather than obstacles. The art of mixology itself becomes a metaphor for their relationship. precise measurements meeting creative expression, technical skill blending with social grace. The novel ultimately suggests that love isn't about finding someone who matches our predetermined criteria or someone who will change to meet our needs. Rather, it's about discovering a person whose differences challenge us to grow, whose perspective expands our own, and whose presence makes us more fully ourselves. In Don and Rosie's unlikely pairing, we find hope that our own quirks and peculiarities might not be barriers to connection, but pathways to it, if only we're brave enough to step outside our comfortable routines and embrace the beautiful unpredictability of human relationships. Their story reminds us that the most meaningful connections often arise not from perfect compatibility, but from the willingness to embrace both structure and spontaneity, both planning and serendipity.